SBS Radio.
In this bulletin, specialized Indigenous health experts set to provide critical COVID-19 care to remote communities. The Novavax COVID-19 vaccine fully approved for use in Australia. And in sport, the hosts of the Women's Asian Cup forced to withdraw from the tournament. Specialized Indigenous health experts are banding together again this year to provide critical COVID-19 care to remote communities. The Victorian Aboriginal Community Controlled Health Organization CEO Jill Gallagher says 2022 is a crucial time to focus on the key measures that will help keep First Nations communities safe. Indigenous health experts will assist in the administration of vaccine doses against COVID-19 through the relaunch of the mobile vaccine van, which will be back on the road beginning in the Latrobe Valley this week. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander suicides have increased by 75% in Victoria, according to a new report. The Victorian Aboriginal Community Controlled Health Organisation and the Centre of Excellence for Aboriginal Social and Emotional Wellbeing say they are extremely disturbed by the report's findings. According to the two Aboriginal Community Controlled Health Organisations, the new report shows Victoria's mental health system is not built for Aboriginal people. Virtual CEO Auntie Jill Gallagher said the whole service system has a responsibility to ensure that there is no wrong door for our people to access help when required and that assistance will be delivered in a culturally safe way. Culture is a critical element to solutions and needs to be part of the way forward. Culture needs to be seen and understood as a protective factor for Aboriginal people. Healing and culture need to be core to the way forward. Fears of a rapid spread and high hospitalizations of COVID cases in the Aboriginal township of Cherbourg have not been realized. When the first cases of COVID-19 were detected last month, authorities feared a rapid spread with dire consequences in a vulnerable population with low vaccination rates. Speaking to the ABC, Cherbourg Mayor Elisando said the community's success at flattening the curve has been attributed to the strong uptake of health advice to wear masks, stay home, and get tested if unwell. So far, only two people have been hospitalized and they have since recovered. There have been more than 200 confirmed cases of the Omicron variant in the community of about 1,200 residents, with 50 cases still active. And the average number of new daily cases is stable at between 4 to 5. The New South Wales government is trying to reassure residents it will be safe for children to go back to school. Some parents are concerned about their children having rapid antigen tests twice a week. Premier Dominic Perrottet says while he understands it's making some parents anxious, it's the right approach.
This is all about instilling confidence in our parents, in our children. I know many are anxious, but we believe the plan that we have in place alongside the Victorian government is one that works, one that is ready. We've invested significantly in it, and we're in a position, unlike other jurisdictions around the country, that can actually apply these rapid antigen tests because we went out early and resourced them.
New South Wales has recorded 24 further COVID-related deaths and 15,091 new cases. There are currently 2,816 people in hospital with the virus, 196 of whom are in intensive care. Meanwhile, Victorians are being urged to get a COVID-19 booster shot. The state has recorded 17 COVID-19 deaths and 11,695 cases. There are currently 998 people being treated in hospital, 119 of which are in intensive care and 47 of whom require ventilation. State Premier Daniel Andrews says people should continue to come forward for their booster.
Nothing's more important when it comes to protecting you, the people you love, and the people that we all count on, our nurses, our AMBOs and our doctors, the whole team across our health system. Nothing's more important for all of those reasons than getting a third dose.
Vulnerable members of Queensland's population are being urged to remain vigilant as the state nears the peak of its Omicron outbreak. Queensland is treating 878 people in hospital for the virus, with 50 in intensive care. Some 10,212 new coronavirus infections and 13 deaths were recorded in the latest reporting period. Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk says the next couple of weeks will be critical.
My message is to the vulnerable members in our community, those elderly senior residents, about, minimising your movements. And as I said, perfectly okay to go and do your shopping, perfectly okay to go and visit your family, but please avoid mixing in crowds just over the next couple of weeks till we get through this peak and we can get through all of this together.
The Novavax COVID-19 vaccine has been given full approval for use in Australia. It was provisionally approved by the Therapeutic Goods Administration last week. Federal Health Minister Greg Hunt says it will become available on the 21st of February.
We have received the second green light from Otago in relation to the Novavax vaccine. I've spoken with the company both last week and this morning, amongst many conversations, and we will be able to commence that program in the week of the 21st of February.
Supply shortages of rapid antigen tests are expected to impact today's rollout of the COVID-19 concession scheme. 6.6 million people, including pensioners, veterans and low-income earners, are now eligible and allowed up to 10 free tests from pharmacies within a three-month period. But President of the Pharmacy Guild of Australia, Trent Toomey, told the Nine Network not every pharmacy will be able to proceed as planned.
We will have enough over the course of the program, but we don't have enough today. And so there are 6,000 community pharmacies in Australia, and 804 pharmacies went live this morning. So that's nationwide. There are pharmacies in every state and territory that will go live today. But 804 pharmacies out of 6,000 means simply the majority of pharmacies will not be going live.
Cleo Smith's alleged abductor is facing court in Western Australia today. The four-year-old was found alive and well 18 days after she disappeared from her family's tent at the remote Blowholes campsite in November last year. A fresh charge is expected to be laid against 36-year-old Terence Darrell Kelly, who is accused of assaulting a police officer. He's already charged with a number of offences, including forcibly taking a child, and will face a magistrate via video link from prison. And overseas, protests against COVID-19 vaccines and restrictions have been held in Belgium. Thousands of people gathered in the capital Brussels on Sunday, with some violent confrontations between protesters and police towards the end of the rally. One protester, going only by the name of Skinny, says people from all over Europe came to take part in the protest.
It's an international manifestation, so there are coming people from Holland, from Germany, from France, from Italy, from Poland. There are 15 buses here, only from Poland. There were 1,500 people here today. So, says enough, eh? Everybody around Europe is sick of the measures that the government takes against us. They're taking away our rights and freedom.
Gunfire has rung out from several army camps in Burkina Faso's capital, but the government denies the military has seized power. A Reuters journalist reported heavy arms fire at a camp in the capital, Ouagadougou, which houses the army's general staff and a prison whose inmates include soldiers involved in a failed 2015 coup attempt. The incident has prompted fears that a coup attempt is underway after weeks of growing frustration with the government's handling of an Islamic insurgency rocking the country. It comes a day after protesters demanded the resignation of President Roch Marc Christian Kabore at a demonstration in Ouagadougou. Mr. Kabore has faced growing opposition since his re-election in November 2020. Conflict between U.S.-backed Syrian Kurdish fighters and militants has continued into a fourth day around a prison in northeastern Syria that houses thousands of members of the IS group. The clashes started late Thursday after the militants attempted to storm Gairan Prison in Asaki, killing dozens of guards and staff and enabling prisoners to escape. Kurdish military officials say dozens of IS gunmen have been killed. The attack is the boldest by IS militants since they lost a majority of their country in Syria in 2019. And 2 years after the horrific fires of the summer of 2019 and 2020, the Red Cross has released its latest report on the bushfire fund established to support those impacted by the blaze. 34 people were killed in the bushfires, which also burned through more than 18 million hectares and destroyed over 5,900 buildings, including 2,779 homes. $242 million was raised in the Red Cross fund, and over 6,000 people have been supported with grants to pay for building repairs, emergency expenses, and the cost of funerals. Red Cross National Recovery Coordinator Shona Whitton says disasters have widespread effects.
We often have quite a cross-section of communities who experience impacts by disasters. But, you know, the additional support grant really shows that the people who are perhaps more vulnerable to begin with do tend to suffer more after disasters. And that was the intention of the additional support grant, which really was the focus of the end of our distribution of funds over the last 6 months.
And to sport, the Women's Asian Cup has suffered a setback, with hosts India kicked out of the tournament following a COVID-19 outbreak. The women's team was unable to field a team for their Group A match against Taiwan because too many players had COVID-19. Regulations require coaches to name a minimum 13 players match day squad for each game, and India's inability to do so caused Sunday's game to be cancelled and the team withdrawn from the competition. And now, having a look at the weather around the country: Broome, a mostly cloudy day and a top of 30. Perth, mostly sunny, 33. Adelaide, humid and showers and a top of 29. Melbourne, humid and mostly sunny, 33. Hobart, partly cloudy, 25. Albury, Wodonga, partly cloudy as well and a top of 26. Canberra, much the same, 27. Wollongong, a shower or 2, 24. Sydney, a few showers, 26. Newcastle, similar conditions, 26. Brisbane, partly cloudy, 30. Townsville, mostly cloudy, 29. Cairns, possible shower and a top of 32. Alice Springs, a sunny day, 28. Darwin, showers and a possible storm and a top of 31. And the Torres Strait Islands, a partly cloudy day and a top of 29. And that is NITV Radio News.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.